Friends, I want to take a minute just to say thank you for your support of this show. I hope you will continue to pray for Deacon Dave and me as we continue to bring you those people that we meet along the way. I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email me at dave@castingthe.net. And please remember to subscribe wherever you listen. And please tell your friends about this show. Thank you.
This is a Spirit of Truth Radio Arts original program in partnership with Salt and Light Catholic Radio.
My guest today has always been a truly gracious man to me. He agreed to be a guest without question when I had only 4 episodes of this show published. In fact, it was because of him that this show found its present form. Over the past few years, our paths have crisscrossed, and each time he has left me a better man because of his wisdom and willingness to share. He has a new book out now, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? I'm so glad to welcome back my good friend, Bear Wozniak. Bear, welcome back.
Aloha, Dave. Good to be with you guys again.
Oh, so good to see you again, my friend. You know what, Bear? There's been so many people that have come into this episode. You are our 5th guest, guest number 5, and you're now, I think this is episode 102. It's been it's been a long time since we've seen you, and we're so happy to have you back. You've been a busy, busy guy. First of all, you got a new book out, and it's titled 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Tell me a little bit about the book.
Yeah, we've been busy. I mean, like this year, because Long Ride Home, our TV show, our EWTN show, we just got that edited and sent to the network, you know, so season 4, which is 11 episodes filmed in Hawaii, it's our motorcycle TV show. Then I had to finish my book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And then I had to do 67 radio and TV interviews. and then I did 40 of my own radio show, you know, the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. And then I went out and did a speaking tour in Montana, obviously, because of Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And then besides that, I have my CPA firm. So right now I mostly do corporate tax. So right now, you know, it's been a busy time for us, but yeah, the book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It was the easiest thing I ever wrote, you know, just speaking from the heart, speaking as a man would to other men, man to man stuff. It's Christian. It's number 5. It's been up as high as number 5 in Christian books for men. So it's a Catholic and men, Catholic and non-Catholic men love it. I think the women do a lot of buying of this book and sending it to the men, but it's something that is really needed. It's down to earth, practical wisdom for a man. There's spiritual wisdom there too, but it's something that also a lot of, oh, I just see a whale blowing right now, just now, right out my window. Oh yeah. It's cool. I don't know which one this one is, but yeah, but there's probably a pup out there with him, the other thing that I'm really excited about, there she blows again, I'm excited about, is that a lot of fathers are reading this book with their sons, so it helps them get traction and talking about some of the real practical things, you know. And then in our man cave, we're going through the curriculum together too, so yeah, I'm really, really excited about this book.
I want to talk to you a little bit later about the man cave, but how did you boil it down to just 12 rules?
Well, there's more. I could write another book, I guess, but I just had to speak to the ones that I thought that really were grabbing my attention. My wife and I are driving here along Waikiki to Diamond Head Lookout, and when we were up there, she said, "You got to listen to this song," and she turned up the radio, and her name is Paula Cole. And she was singing this lament of, "Where is my John Wayne? Where have all the cowboys gone?" And when we go speak to mixed groups, we'll get kind of inundated with the women telling us, whether I'm in Montana at the universities, I spoke there last fall, or wherever we are, whatever age group, the women are coming and saying, "Tell the men we want them. We need them to be men again." And so, yeah, I think it's time. It's the pendulum is swinging back. People are realizing the emperor doesn't have any clothes when they kind of have this kind of sissified sort of male out there, that soft sort of male, that they really want a man who lives a life of virtue. And so, yeah, it's a good, the timing of the book is really good.
How do we get started in the virtues?
How did I, or how does anyone?
How does anybody? I mean, you.
Oh, well, you know, there are seven virtues. I've written another book prior to this one. I've written a couple others, but the one before this was Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. Mm-hmm. And there we really dig into the actual virtues. There's four classical virtues of Aristotle. You know, it's also, you find it in the Book of Wisdom, but justice, self-mastery, fortitude, and prudence. And then the three theological virtues that Paul added of faith, hope, and love. And that book kind of talks about that. And the Catechism does a good job too. Basically, the Catechism says it all begins in the mind. Mm-hmm. So reading the Catechism is a good way, because you get formed and informed by the Catechism. But also what we see is going back to the man cave and brotherhood and Knights of Columbus. You know, I used to have this cabin. I built this little cabin on some land on the North Fork of the Flathead River, 2 miles from Canada by Glacier Park. And when I first came on the land, there was no road or anything there. Right when I walked in, I see this wolf across the this little meadow on my land, or I actually realized it's probably his land. And he looked really angry, but he looked a little bit scrawny. And I asked, about 6 months later, I met a professor from Missoula who was tracking apex predators. And I asked, he was there on my land, which I've never seen anybody come on my land other than that, family that had been invited. And I heard him coming, and I looked outside, and he had this grizzly bear fur and claws on his cowboy hat. And I asked him about this wolf. He goes, I know that wolf. He's a lone wolf. Mm. He used to be the alpha male, and he got kicked out of the pack by a younger male, and he's going to die young because wolves are meant to run in a pack. He's not going to get the food he needs. He's going to either get hungry or get diseased or both and die young. And that's the state of manhood today. Most men are lonely. They're isolated. Mm-hmm. They can't really share at a deep level with other men. I mean, one of the things my wife notices here in Hawaii is there is maybe it's because the water brings us all together out there, and it's the great equalizer when we're surfing or sailing or spearfishing, whatever we're doing, that there's not no one even knows what anybody does for a living. We're just out there together. You know, we're surfing. Mm-hmm. Who's your shaper? Who shapes your surfboard is probably more the question. But there's a community of men. When I walk along the beach here in Waikiki, Cindy knows I can't really go very – I can't walk like from here to Moana and have a cup of coffee. There's going to be 15 guys walk up and say, hey, Uncle Bear. The younger men call me uncle, right? The younger men call the older men uncle. And there's a really community of men here. She said it's really interesting because the men here are very manly, and there's a sinew that connects them. Mm-hmm. And so men who are out there that aren't, you know, that's why Knights of Columbus is so important. If you're not part of a group of men and you don't have a deeper conversation with them where you can talk about, you can talk at a gritty and real level and at a spiritual level, then you're going to die diseased and young. You're not going to do well. We need each other. So I guess that's the one thing that I think of when I think of this book, is gathering the men together, whether it's in small groups like That Man Is You, or whether it's in the Knights of Columbus, the Step Into the Breach, or whether it's the Exodus 90, or it's our man cave, or I know that my friend Doug Berry has a group, and of course our good friend Mike Houck has his Kingsmen. We need men. I mean, Jesus had his 12, right? So we need a gathering of men where we can. Now, you know, I hate it when people go, "Oh, you need to be with other men so you can be more vulnerable and open and be accountable." And I go, "Well, BS. I don't want that. I don't want to be accountable to anyone. I really just want to be accountable to God. But you know what I'll do? I'd like to be in fellowship with you so that you challenge me and you encourage me and you inspire me by who you are. And I don't want to be vulnerable and transparent, but I will get gritty and real." Mm-hmm. You know? You just got to change the vocabulary a little bit. But yeah, so yeah, I think we're going to see men have to form men.
Yeah,
We have to be in the company of other men.
Bear, throughout your book, you talk about grit and grace. Can you explain a little bit about that to me?
Well, okay. So, you know, the Latin word for man, there's two of them, actually. One is the word ver, It's where you get the word virtue. The other one is homo, like in homo sapien, comes from the word humu, which our state fish here is the humu humu nuku nuku apawa. So I think it might be, I'm not pronouncing it quite right, but it's the word humu. It means dirt. It means earth.
Okay.
So men are meant to be virtuous, but we're made out of mud. Women aren't. God didn't shape a woman out of mud. He shaped her out of a man's rib. So they're more highly distilled. But men are made for grit. But the thing about man is that when God fashioned him, he breathed into man, and the man became a living soul. Hmm. So that's the grace part. And what you see so much, like on the YouTube videos, there's these really macho guys on there saying, you got to man up, you got to get physically in shape, you got to make a lot of money, you got to have sex with a different woman every week, and all that stuff. That's not what makes a man. And you got to do it by your own effort. That doesn't work. It's a recipe for isolation and disaster. But if you are gritty enough to say the words, thy will be done to the Lord, and then ask for his grace, then you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, and then you're on a real journey. Then you're on an adventure. So it takes, and the early church fathers called humans amphibians, because mm-hmm. we're all earth and we're all heaven too. We got a spiritual soul. So we can live on land and in the sea, or we can live on the earth and in heaven. So yeah, you need to have, and God formed us not to try to just do it all on our own. He formed us so he would have relationship with us, mm-hmm. come alongside us and say, come on, let's do it. You know, when I tested for my first degree ninja black belt, the motto on the wall was lead me to the wall too high to climb it, and I will climb it. You know, by the Holy Spirit, I will climb it, from King David, you know, mm-hmm. by thee I can bend a bow of bronze, by thee I can crush a tree, by thee I can leap a wall, by thee I can be the man that you're calling me to. It doesn't, if you're just trying to do it on your own strength, good luck.
You know, you mentioned that there was a creed on the wall, but you have a creed that's on your desk, I believe. It's written, engraved on a plaque. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I stole it from the desk in the White House. It's called the Resolute Desk. It goes back over 100 years.
Yeah.
It was named that. So I just have a plaque that says the Resolute Desk, and then there's a real dangerous prayer that I have engraved on that plaque too. It's the most dangerous prayer you can pray. Jesus prayed it, and he taught his disciples to pray it. We saw Jesus say it on Mount of Olives when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Very dangerous prayer. Mm-hmm. It was a dangerous prayer to the whole world, the enemy that was against Jesus, but it was dangerous to him too. It cost him his life. So, just to get down to the grit of it is just to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. But when we do that, it's dangerous. It is. I've seen a lot of men sacrifice their careers now because they won't get involved, for example, in the woke committee, you know, the rainbow committee.
Yeah.
But to say thy will be done is what lets us, when you say thy will be done to the Lord, you get to see God do stuff. Because yeah. you're on the front lines with him. He's going out in front of you, and you get to see miracles.
That's really true, because for the longest time, you and I, we kind of worked separately, you know, but our paths have crossed again. You know, they've crossed a couple mm-hmm. times. You know, you've done some work with Salt and Light when with Brian Howell out there.
That rookie Brian Howell.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
Oh, I do too. He's such a good guy. He's a guy that gave me a chance, so I mean, a lot of guys have come through this apostolate. You know, guys like Trace Chamberlain and Jake Goodman.
You mean big guns? You mean big guns?
Big guns.
Trace Chamberlain.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, there's been, you know, Father Gabriel Burke over in Ireland. A lot of guys have come and you know, they've, you know, our paths have walked long, and now you and I are starting to walk together for a while.
Yeah.
And we're doing some work, and I'm really, really excited about the Bear School of Manliness. You and Pat Gervais did a lot of work to set that up, but it's got your fingerprints all over it because of the language that's used, and tell me about Bear's School of Manliness.
Well, we're really excited about it, you know, because I put so much effort into the TV show and the book, the most recent book, and now we're turning our focus to the man cave. We've had the man cave kind of go through this transformation over the years. We used to just be a Facebook community for men, and we got off Facebook, and now it's a non-Facebook community of men. Mm-hmm. But we've developed a 3-year curriculum for the men, and it has audio, it has video, it has written content, it has self-assessments, it has, you know, a chance to do some goal setting and stuff too. So, but men come and they join the man cave. When they do that, then they're greeted by someone who leads them through the man cave and leads them to the school of manliness, so they know what to expect. And then once a week, now you're helping us as the dean of the school of manliness. Once a week, I mean, once a month, we all go through the curriculum together. So this month, we're going through, I forget, is that every man needs a creed, a code he can live by? I forget what we're doing this month.
Yeah, but I just wrote it this morning and I've already forgotten it.
But then every week we have a section of the curriculum, mm-hmm. and then that kind of becomes a dialogue within the within the man cave. Like I said, it's non-Facebook, but we have an app for the phone, and people go in and write when they need prayer, or they can share their hold my beer moments, or they can share anything encouraging or challenging. And then we gather together by Zoom calls about once every 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. The men gather together and we share a Zoom call, and it's a dialogue. And we go through it. So if someone joins this month, then they wouldn't start at month one. They would start at month, I guess it is 25, I think, or 26 now. They would just start up with us. But what's really exciting to me is the dads can get a login for their sons too, mm-hmm. which precludes the sons from getting into the man cave with the men, because they're young men. Young boys can't be part of it. But then the father can lead their sons through the curriculum, and they can track as the child goes through each lesson. They can see when he's finished it. It shows the check mark that he's completed that task. And then maybe once a week, the father and son get together and they watch one of the videos. Sometimes it's a 30-minute video. Sometimes it's a 60-second video, but it gives them a chance to have something real to talk about, because fathers come home and they go, they're tired. And they go, well, what did you do today at school, son? Oh, nothing. What did you talk about? Oh, nothing. You know, so it gives them traction and it gets them into a real conversation. And the young boys love the attention that their dads give them. They just rise to it.
Yeah. One of the nice things, Bear, I think that you and I had talked about was to develop a podcast called Growls from the Man Cave. And it's about, and we're going to be interviewing the gentlemen that are a part of these classes, and we're going to find out what they're really about and what they have to offer. And I'm just really excited about it, because they're the kind of guys that put their work boots on, kiss their wives, and face the darkness.
I say the guys in the black pickup truck, that's the vision the Lord gave me to way back in the day. But, you know, and I just say it's like the cave of Adullam. You know, when David was running from King Saul, mm-hmm. It said that all the misfits, the guys who owed money or who were running from the law, all gathered in the cave of Adullam, and they formed each other, and God formed them, and they became the mighty men of valor. So we need each other, you know, and that's what the cave. And so we're just a bunch of knuckle draggers, you know, misfits, mm-hmm. from every walk of life, from all over the world, and we're just there to encourage each other, challenge each other, and inspire each other, especially.
You know, I'm not the kind of guy that has visions or visitations, you know, from spiritual beings or anything like that. But I do every now and then get these graces of understanding and big guns. I had kind of an internal vision of big guns, that he's my spiritual bodyguard, because I envision myself falling and him grabbing me by the collar, putting his hand out as if he was a spiritual body. There's been many times that man has prayed for me and has lifted me up. So,
almost you at just the right moment. You guys are going to be a great team.
Yeah. I love the guy. He's become such a close friend, and, just really, really looking forward to it. You, Bear are doing like so many great things with the new media. You're doing a lot of shorts. I love the shorts.
Those, we need people's help with those. Cause we do these 60 second shorts 3 times a week.
Yep.
And we need people. If you want to have an impact, share, you know, go to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Bear Wozniak Spirit of Adventure. And we will send, you'll be alerted when those shorts come out. Or if you're, if you get our newsletter at Bear School of Manliness, we send them out. But share those. Gosh, I mean, they're really cool 60-second shorts. Oh, man, that whale just totally breached. I just glanced over, totally out of the water. But they're really, we're using AI to make them. It's all cowboy themed, mm-hmm. but it's kind of stuff that, you know, younger generation will like too, but all generations love it too. So, and it's really just excerpts from my book and I'm narrating it. And then they do 60 second shorts, but some of them have really, you know, gone viral. But what we need is we need people to share them because the YouTube algorithm says, hey, these people are sharing them. So we will share them. Mm-hmm. So every now we get one that goes viral, but we need we don't make them for us. We're making it for the rest of the people on our team, for everyone that is part of the man cave or others to share it. You know, our YouTube channel has got so much stuff. The Spirit of Adventure, Bear Wozniak Spirit of Adventure channel has so much, and we're going to be bringing up. My son Joshua and I are going to work on it tomorrow. We're going to bring up Long Ride Home. That YouTube, we put our Long Ride Home TV series on YouTube, mm-hmm. but YouTube says, wait a minute, you've stolen music, and we need to show them, no, we paid a lot of money for that music. You know, we have to kind of clear a couple of hurdles, but mm-hmm. so people can, and share out, they'll be able to share out the whole, a whole Long Ride Home 28-minute episode, too. There's 33 of them, I think.
You know, I've noticed that you've called your ministry is now Spirit of Adventure. It used to be Deep Adventure. What was the reason for the change?
I wanted it to be more of about the Holy Spirit, you know, and people, Deep Adventure, people don't know if it were what we're all about. And maybe Spirit of Adventure doesn't quite do it either. But my wife and I were praying and praying and praying about what to name our new boat. We have a 48-foot Beneteau down in the Virgin Islands. It's Beneteau is French for Benedictus, which means blessing. And the Lord just said, here's the boat. Here you go. Here's your boat. Put all the pieces together for us. And we're holding our first retreat this April on the boat. But we were praying about what to name it. We're going to give her a Hawaiian name what should we call it? And then my wife, when it was time to tell the Coast Guard what we were going to name it, my wife said, why don't we call her the Spirit of Adventure? And it just, well, yeah, let's call her that. So it's kind of the sign of a new phase in our ministry. Because back in the day when I was talking about doing a TV series, I was either going to do a sailing series or a motorcycle series. Mm-hmm. And so we did Long Ride Home, the motorcycle series, because it would be hard. Would have been hard at that time. You would have needed a couple boats to have that many people, probably three. You would have to have a flotilla to do what we did with Long Ride Home. Mm-hmm. But you would need at least two in order to get the camera angles. But now with our drones, we can get any angle we want. Sure. So we're going to start doing, we're still waiting on the Holy Spirit for his direction. But Cindy and I will start doing more things together on YouTube than it used to just kind of be the man. But we're going to have Cindy with me now, so the women will have something they can identify with too. So we're going to go out and go sailing and snorkeling or spearfishing or surfing. We're going to have all these different adventures in paradise. And that the idea is you have to entertain people first and grab their attention. Then you can give them the message. And the scripture verse that the Lord gave us for the boat was, those that are led by the Spirit are like the wind, Jesus' words. Don't know where they're going or where they're coming from. And so people say, well, what are you going to do? What's your new show? We're still waiting. We're still waiting on the Lord to put wind in our sails, but it's getting there. We're about ready to take, after this sabbatical we've been on for the last 2 months, we're about ready to get going again. But it's going to be something with my wife. She's so radiant on the radiant, and she's so wise. And I think people will really be attracted to us having fun.
Yeah.
In Hawaii or in the Caribbean, and then sharing with them something inspirational.
Now, I know that you had spent some time down in the Caribbean, maybe, a month or so ago, month and a half ago?
We went down. We went from the middle of November to the end towards the end of January. We were sailing on our boat.
Was that kind of a recon of future things that you want to do, or was that just a vacation?
You know what? Like when I wrote the book before this one, Deep Adventures of the Way of Heroic Virtue, mm-hmm. I was in Florida because we were filming Long Ride Home. I was spending over half my time there. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to get this book done. So I got on 4 or 5 consecutive cruises. They're very cheap if you do it right. Mm-hmm. And I went all through the Caribbean, and I hit out in the, back in those days, you could sit on the cigar deck. Mm-hmm. I'd have a cigar and I would write till I would be exhausted every day. But I was isolated from the internet and everything. So I wrote it. And so I got to see a lot of the Caribbean. I saw all of it. And I thought, so I knew where I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back to the Virgin Islands. And so we went there to take our sailing certification, because you need that to get insurance and stuff like that. So, and then the Lord just gave us this boat. It was just like, here's your boat. here's how you're going to finance it. And here it is. It just was just the perfect boat. It's got four cabins, mm-hmm. four berths, four heads, very important. Yep. A beautiful salon down below, beautiful big deck on top. And so we have our first father and son event in April, and we'll teach the young men how to sail. But in the process, we're going to have plenty of dialogue with the fathers and the sons, and then times for the father and sons to just jump in the dinghy and go to a private beach by themselves and just go for a walk and talk stories. So, man, I wish my dad could have done that with me when I was young. And then we're going to do couples things too. The couples can come, they can spend a few days at a resort, and we'll come pick them up, and they can day sail with us, or they can go overnight if they feel like it. But it'll be a chance for couples to come get away and spend time with each other and with the Lord.
You know, Bears, I've been getting to know you a little bit more, better and better over the last, I'd say, 2 months. I noticed that your dad was a deacon.
Yes. Yeah.
How much did that affect you in your Catholicism? Because I know you had a little bit of a falling away. I know you went to Baylor University. How did he feel about that?
Well, no, I would say that I didn't have a falling away. The church had a falling away from me.
Oh, okay.
So when I was searching for God, and when I was 19, I'm going to Baylor because it was in the same town. My parents moved us from California, Santa Cruz, to Texas, and that happened to be in the same town. So I went to Baylor. But while I was at Baylor, I had a dramatic, powerful conversion to the Lord. I wanted to know the Lord, but I came to experience that mighty, powerful, and filling of the Holy Spirit through the Catholic charismatic renewal. But the new catechism wasn't out, and I was just being under catechized, and I was hungry, and so I would read, and I would talk with people that were going deeper around me, mm-hmm. and eventually I just became. I mean, I would talk to the priest that was in the back of the church I went to about God, and he wanted to talk about Buddha.
Wow.
And there was a season there after Vatican II, and it seemed like the church just drifted away from me. I was hungry and I was ready.
Yeah.
And there was nothing there. It just didn't seem like there was anything there. But my dad and my mom stayed within the church. I continued in my faith, and I began to I used to lead worship big, you know, but, you know, I used to play guitar and lead worship in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And I loved all the praise and the worship and the spirituality, but I needed teaching. And so I ended up leaving and going into the non-denominational land for about just 13 years. But it's beautiful. I met so many beautiful Christians. And my back was miraculously healed. I had a severe, devastating back injury. And it was miraculously healed. That's why I don't take any pride in being a world champion tandem surfer. You know, I left my wife when we surf. Mm-hmm. These different extreme lifts. But then my dad continued and became a deacon, which, as you know, when a deacon becomes a deacon, the wife is very just right there with him.
Yeah.
And he sent me the Liturgy of the Hour, which I began to pray, because I was trying to always pray spontaneous prayer. But guess what? It doesn't seem very spontaneous after a while. It seems pretty repetitive.
Yeah.
So why not pray anointed and repetitive prayer? So I began to pray the Liturgy of the Hour a little bit, but I never, I ignored all those writings in the Office of Readings by those old guys, you know, so stupid. But then he sent me Stephen Ray's book, who's now a good friend of mine, called Crossing the Tiber. And Stephen Ray wrote this wonderful book to his dad about why he was becoming a Catholic. And half of the book is footnotes. And so you can't see way behind me, but way in the back, I've got all my early church fathers. And I found the early church fathers. Mm-hmm. And when I found out the early church was a Catholic church, I had no choice but to come running back. And I had become dissatisfied because I wanted to go deeper. I'm not saying that there isn't a lot of depth in the Protestant world. Of course there is. But when I found the early church fathers and I found the catechism, I would just develop this ferocious hunger. And I'd go down every night to the beach with my iPad and have a cigar. And I would study Catholicism until I had one or two cigars. That's when I was single. And I came back to the church but I reject the fact that I fell away. That's BS. The church fell away from me. And I'll tell you what, when I was speaking up in Montana this last fall, I spoke at a Catholic university. Mm-hmm. I won't mention the name, but they wanted me to shut me down and not let me speak. And finally, the bishop wrote a letter and had the priest read that we don't necessarily agree with anything he's saying, but in the interest of freedom of speech, we allow him to speak. That was the bishop finding a way to let me speak without, you know, I took it as a good thing that he did that. Yeah. But there were three female professors in the back with cameras on trying to find me making a big mistake. And all I talked about was having one, you know, the book, 12 Rules for Manliness, it was meant to be provocative, right? It was meant to be.
Yeah.
But all they heard me talk about was, you know, think about what 1 Corinthians 16, I believe it says, where Paul says, act like men, right? Emphasis on men, not men. Don't say act like a man. It says act like men. I mean, you need to be in brotherhood. And then it says, and do all things in love. That's the next verse. So they got disgusted and got up and left. But I mean, that church has fallen, that college, there's a lot of great Catholics there. But I mean, so many of our institutions have fallen away. That's why I'm so grateful for the Knights of Columbus and how they're teaching on, you know, stepping into the breach. Yeah. But I don't want to step into the breach. I want to step into the breach, and then I want to take new ground.
You know, our mutual friend of ours, Pat King, he had to, you know him. I do
love him, yeah.
I do the radio show with him on Wednesday mornings there on Salt and Light. But he said the same thing. He felt the church had left him, and that's why he had gone into the non-denominational church for so many years. And mm-hmm. But thank God he's back with the Catholic Church and serving the people of Idaho.
And the church hadn't left me, and it just that the slice of the church that I knew had left, you know, had kind of left me. But there was real, genuine, always has been, genuine, oh, man, the Catholic Church is just, Jesus said, I'll build my church. I will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
That's
so there's always, always, always strong Catholics.
That's what I don't understand is why so many people are leaving the Catholic Church. I mean, this was the original church. This is it. And if we don't believe those words, what Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church.
But you know what? They've been under catechized. If you go around the country and you speak, the churches that teach the real teaching of the church, the catechism of the Catholic Church, they teach the real teaching, they are thriving. But the ones that want to be nice, mm-hmm. and you know, they think Jesus would go to the local Starbucks, there's one right next to me, and recite his poem, Why Can't We All Just Get Along? Mm-hmm. Though the watered down Catholic churches to me seem to be just fading, just they're dying. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but what the young people that I met, like for example in Montana, when you talk about the real teaching of the Catholic Church, they want to be challenged. Mm-hmm. They want the truth, and they know it when they see it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that goes back to stepping into the breach. You know, we need to, you know, the stepping into the breach. I used to give this talk. It was actually the first talk I gave when I came back to the church 12 years ago, and it was called Stepping into the Breach. And it was based on Nehemiah. I don't know if you guys talk about Nehemiah in your curriculum, but Nehemiah was the prophet that came back to rebuild the walls that had fallen. And the way they did it was, they did it with the domestic church. It was, you can follow it clockwise. This man and his family rebuilt this part. This man and his family rebuilt this part. This man and his family rebuilt this part. It's the domestic church, but it's also the men in the company of other men, because when they would be rebuilding the wall, The Philistines, the Canaanites, I think, got upset with them, started attacking him. So while one man built, another man stood there with a shield and a spear. And when a man was walking along the wall to bring the supplies, he would have his sword drawn while he carried whatever he was carrying in the other hand. And so we need men to you can't do it alone. We need brotherhood. But where you find real diehard commitment, I think men want a challenge. They want to say, give me the truth. Let me carry it. I don't want to be anything watered down. I want the truth, and they want a challenge. They want something that's bigger than they can do without God's help. Mm-hmm. You know, if God's calling you to something, it's probably something you can't do without Him.
Yeah. True. Very true. Bear, how much time do you spend now in study? Because I'm amazed at I listen to your show. Your show is one that I listen to, and I'm blown away at how much you know. And I'm going to say something after that, and this is kind of leading up to that. So how much time do you spend in study?
Well, it comes in seasons with me. There are seasons when I go really deep for a long time, but, you know, and then there are seasons where it's just, hi, God, remember me, just maybe less than an hour of prayer a day, you know. But then there are seasons when I can go deep. As a surfer, I know that sometimes it surfs up, sometimes it's not. Right now, I can't imagine. I didn't go to mass this morning. Normally I would, because the Eucharist is right below my desk. It's right there. The church is right next to me. But there are seasons when I have things I need to do for my clients, but fires out and stuff. Because I, you know, everything that we make speaking and in books goes back into the ministry. Mm-hmm. And then we also, you know, this is the reality with the new evangelization. And then we give 10 to 20% of our income to the ministry too. That's just the reality of the new evangelization. You know, you can have a lot of different kind of programs that are great, but when it comes to just to evangelizing, mm-hmm. that's the hardest thing, especially evangelizing men. And so I do keep myself, my support, my family, my wife and I, through my work. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like Paul. Paul had a laptop, you know, he could put all of his tools to make tents in a case the size of a lap box. So I live my life like that. So there are natural seasons when I'm very, very busy and all I can do is spend the minimum amount of time with the Lord, usually less than an hour. But then there's those other times when I can just, mm-hmm. you know, just open up. I usually have them reading a bookshelf full of books that I want to get through, you know, that are on the same subject, yeah. you know? So when you're Catholic, you can sound really smart. Well, you just read the teachings of the church.
Now, the reason I asked that prayer is because every time I've met you, or I've not met you in person, but we've had a conversation. Every time you've always left me with something, a nugget that made me a better man. And you know, I'm grateful for that. How can I be that kind of person that when somebody will say that about me?
I think they do already. The men in the band cave love you, man.
Well,
they all love David Fortune. I think it's there's two parts to it. There's the part that is meditating on God's word. You know, the word meditate comes from the word ruminate. So chewing a lot on God's word and reading our great saints, reading the doctors of the faith, spending time with the Lord that way. And you know, when you read a book like that, you're actually having a conversation with. When you, I read through the Confessions again while I was on the boat this last time. When you're reading a book like that, you're having a conversation with St. Augustine and the Lord, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the other side of it is to be open to the Lord saying, to the nudge of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, like, for those that are led by the Spirit, you don't know where they're going or where they're coming from. How often do we bite our tongue instead of saying the word that's on our lips that we know could encourage or help someone? And so there's the time of waiting on the Lord, and there's a time of being sent, but that's an everyday thing. I love Jeff Cavins. You know Jeff?
I've I know of him, and he is, to me, he is probably one of the premier Bible scholars out there.
Yeah, he, since he was young, right? So his, but he and his motorcycle gang, he's got a group of 10 guys, they ride together.
Does he ride?
His first day with his wife was on a motorcycle. They'll ride 500 to 1,000 miles. I mean, those guys ride each day. But when they're out together, they're on a lookout for what door will the Lord open for us to speak? Like, I mean, the other day I was golfing with my son, and this guy kept using the Jesus name as a cuss word. And so finally I got close to him when he said that, and he says that word. He says that he uses Jesus Christ as a cuss word. And I just say, the only name by which men can be saved. You know, and so it wasn't like a put down, but I let him know. And then when I'm around other young men, especially young men need to be uncled. I say a lot to younger men, I'm proud of you, when I see them with a child. But when they're out of line, I'll just say to them, you know, you're a better man than that.
Oh, that's a great
customer.
That's so great.
So just, yeah, but that's a Jeff Cavins type of thing. Mm-hmm. Just being open to, you could insert the Holy Spirit and a great big old rip in Satan's cosmos, and the light of Christ comes through with just a word like that, you know? So, and I think you do that, you know, the men in the man cave love what you do, but if we don't say it, who will, you know?
Right. You know, Bear, I've been talking a lot. I got to see if Deacon Dave has any questions for you. Deacon?
I think you fell asleep over there.
No, I'm here.
I heard some snoring. I wasn't sure.
Actually, I was wondering about, I didn't know you had or the church left you, as you put it. I didn't know that was in your history there, but when you came back to the church, I'm curious how that felt, particularly receiving the Eucharist again. I would think you missed the Eucharist, but can you tell us about, you know, that experience you had with the Eucharist?
Coming back was a process. I mean, it wasn't hard, but I would go into the church and stand in the back. Then I would sit in the back. And then, of course, going to confession and receiving the Eucharist. By reading the early church and the catechism, I was not at all doubting that it was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so then I began to become a daily communicant. But coming back to the church was like, it's like, I love this quote that I made up, the word slippery slope. But then I realized Augustine made it up. Now, we're all familiar with that saying, but I like to use it. Once I stood in the back of the church, I was on the slippery slope, and it wasn't a matter of a half a year or something. And I was roaring back. I was ferociously hungry for the faith. And I read and I read and I read and I read and I read. And then, of course, the sacraments. And I came back also, became a Benedictine oblate, because my history with the church went back to the Benedictines in Pecos, at the Pecos Monastery in New Mexico. And they had planted a monastery here in Hawaii, which is no longer here now. But I became, I wanted to live that Benedictine spirituality, you know, ora e labora. It's the perfect thing for someone who's in the world working, you know. I don't know if I answered your question very good.
You did. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank God for the, you know, and when we had a COVID going on here, so many of the believers would say, oh, well, we don't need, you know, it's too bad we can't get together. We can have Jesus anywhere. We can go out and surf and we can have fellowship with Jesus. Yeah. But you can't have the Eucharist.
Right.
You can't have the Eucharist. You need to have a priest, and you need the body of Christ to receive communion. Yeah.
Bear, I want to go back to the book, because I love this book. I love a lot of the titles in there. 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys gone? Just where can people get that first?
You know, I know it seems strange, but I like them to buy it on Amazon.
Really?
Because I'm an evangelist. If they buy it on Amazon, then the algorithm for Amazon says, hey, more people buy this book.
Okay.
But people can get an autographed copy from our website, bearsschoolofmanliness.com, or they can go to Sophia and buy it. They can buy it through EW Chin. They can actually go down to the local Barnes and Noble and buy it. But I like to kind of, I know it seems funny, but I'm an evangelist. Mm-hmm. And if they buy it through Amazon, it kicks things in gear and Amazon starts to promote the book. But if they want an autographed copy, they could go to our website and we'll send them, my wife and I will send a book out. Right? And we just sent a couple little presents with it too.
Yeah.
The Hawaiiana. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to order an autographed copy myself. So the reason I ask you that, Bear, is because 12 rules for manliness, 12 months. How would this be for a men's group if they were to use this book?
Yeah,
I know that we're doing it in the man cave.
Weekly or monthly, like I would dig it if guys would have a shot of bourbon and a cigar once a month in their back porch or whatever and read. But this book is meant like a dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then the book before that, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, those chapters are purposely really short. It'll probably take more than one sitting. But the purpose of it wouldn't be to get through this book. It would be to get this book to get you talking about real stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
I would love to see. I don't know what we could do with the Knights of Columbus, if there's anything, but I wish I could find a way to have a donor that would give a bunch of books to different people involved in it. But I wouldn't want to step on the toes of what Knights of Columbus is doing either. They have they're you know, doing great things that have their own charism also.
Yeah, but they've got a new project out there. I use the word project, but it's an initiative. Deacon Dave can speak to it, but they need content for this new CORE program. And it's, I love the idea of CORE. I mean, Deacon Dave can speak to that, as I said, but it incorporates prayer and fellowship and, you know, study. So, I mean, this book could be great for it because it gets guys back to the virtues
Well, I don't know who the different authors are involved in that. But you think about Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, he has such a great scholastic type of approach. You know, he's very evangelistic too.
Yeah.
So you need good, solid teaching like that.
Yeah.
But my dad told me before he passed away, although I teach, mm-hmm. He said, you're a preacher. Don't get your eye off the ball. You're supposed to be evangelizing. I could get down into the nitty gritty of things. Mm-hmm. And so this is the part that exhorts. It exhorts men, where the other might teach them and give them foundations or encourage them. This book, don't you think it's exhortational?
Yeah, it's a call to action.
It puts a fire in the belly, right? It puts a fire in the belly.
Yeah, definitely a call to action.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bear, is there anything that I'm missing? Anything that you want to talk about before?
Yeah, I'll say something. I want people that are listening to know that they have a personal telos, a philosophical word, a personal purpose that God has given them. And what is good isn't just being nice or being moral. What's being good is to fulfill your purpose. And so to search that out during this season, God, what are you calling me to do, and be open to it? And I would say specifically, there's men that God is calling to teach confirmation next year, or RCIA, or to be a calling to the diaconate, maybe to the priesthood. But there's a calling on your life, and it may not be anything that we're like me. I'm not inside the church. I don't do work inside. I mean, I bounce around kind of, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm not involved in my local church in any capacity. Maybe God wants you on the steering committee. But we need our men. So many men go complain. They go, oh, you know, women, they just took over. Well, no, we let them. We created the vacuum, and thankfully they stepped in to carry the ball. But we need our men to enter in to heed the call that the way, how has God wired you? What are your gifts and talents? And then just be willing and to step out and you know, work with the youth, perhaps, you know, be a coach. But don't just do the everyday. God made you in an exceptional way, has an exceptional purpose. Number one, your wife, your family, you know. But even within that context, there's so many young men out there that aren't being fathered, that need an uncle, you know, like maybe your son's friend. Like yesterday, I met a young man, came over to drop off some stuff for Mason Taxes. Buried me. Hadn't ever worked with him before, but his young son is there. It's not his son. My father abandoned him, but this young man had stepped in, and I shook his hand, and the son's handshake was real soft. He was 12 years old. And I said, shake my hand again. You look strong. Let me see how strong you are. And I, five or six times I had him shake my hand till he got a good firm handshake, you know, mm-hmm. And the dad loved it because he said, I've been trying to teach him to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I did it in a way that affirmed, you know, he was a strong young man, and I affirmed his stepdad, you know? So I always just look for a way. How can you step into God's service? But we need men to become involved in the church again. We need them to run for city council. We need for them to run for a school board. We need for men not to sit on the sidelines anymore. Don't get up and just get going. It's not hurry up, try hard, and please God. It's listen to the Holy Spirit, and then if you feel a nudge, move on it and see what God does. Like you do. You're always on the move, David.
Well, I try, Bear. It's like I wrote for the man cave this morning. Let's step up and step out.
Yes. Amen.
You know?
Amen. So, thank you for all that you do. Both of you, Deacon and David.
Thank you for having me. So, Deacon, would you mind giving us a blessing?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
So for my guest, Bear Wozniak, my producer, Deacon Dave Imhoff, I'm Down the Hall Dave, always praying that your troubles be less, your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door. We'll see you next time. Mm-hmm.